Well, he's the voice of a lot of things, but for us, he's going to be voice of PGA Tour Radio.
The voice of reason.
Sirius XM. He's Bill Rosinski. Bill, welcome back into the golf shop.
Oh, good morning, guys. Great to be on the show.
You know, we were just talking a little bit ago with Jason Sobel, and one of the things we left off on was the Tiger Woods saga. And, you know, it's always tough to see professional athletes, people that you've looked up to that kind of fall out of grace. And we saw that years ago with the whole hitting the fire hydrant and the divorce. This is just another step in the saga, and it's hard to watch things like this, isn't it?
It is, because of what he was for so long, dominating the PGA Tour, and arguably no one's ever done it like the way Tiger's done it, to win the Masters the first time the way he did, to dominate a U.S. Open, a Pebble like he did. It wasn't that long ago, despite all his injuries. It was just a couple of years ago he won 5 golf tournaments.
Yeah, I mean,
now this... I know we always jump to conclusions. I know when the story first came out about the DUI, everyone was thinking, well, this was alcohol. And then we find out it was prescription drugs, and some people kind of changed their attitude about it. I think we have to let the whole story play out. The videos, though, are, just kind of sad to watch. You know, the slurred speech, and all that went with the arrest the other night. So it is a sad story in golf.
Yeah, I mean, Bill, we weren't even comfortable as sports fans seeing him humanized on the golf course with injuries. And now this goes to another level of really being disgraced as a person. I mean, it's the reaction that the golf world has had, both supportive and then some of the media being, a little too speculative. Where do you think this thing, how do you think it could play out positively, if that's possible?
Oh, wow. I will say this, the American sports fan can be very forgiving. And I think we, after the first thing with Tiger and the thing that happened on Thanksgiving a number of years ago, and then the divorce from his wife, and then we find out about the philandering that went on, et cetera. But once he came back and he started winning golf tournaments, I don't think a lot of people were thinking about that. And I think, again, the best thing for Tiger would be to basically admit if he's got issues with these painkillers and, come clean with that and get his act together and try to get back on the golf course. I think for him, though, it's just a matter of his physical and mental well-being. Just get to a place in your life where you're not in pain anymore and you don't need prescription medications. Who cares about swinging a golf club again? He can try to be an ambassador for the game. And I think would be a good one if he put his, heart and soul into it. It was funny. I just Sunday, I was at Colonial last week, and, actually it was Monday. We're leaving Colonial, going to the airport. And I was talking with one of my broadcast partners about Tiger. This is before the story ever came out on Monday about, I said, would Tiger ever be the ambassador to the sport that Arnie and Jack still is and Arnie was? And we were kind of having that debate whether Tiger would really want to be somebody like those two guys. And then, of course, the story happened in the afternoon, and, we were texting back and forth about how odd it was that we were just talking about this. And, fortunately for Arnie and Jack, social media didn't exist like it did. So, well, we'll see where this goes with Tiger, but it's certainly not a good story right now.
Yeah, and Bill, you cover a lot of different sports, and you and I are big hockey guys as well, and we as hockey followers always talk about the grit of hockey players. I mean, taking pucks to the face, going in, getting stitches, coming back out, scoring game-winning goals and whatnot. But, on the PGA Tour, you're out there following these guys hole after hole, and you get to see a lot of these guys week in and week out. And, there's probably a lot more guys playing with injury than we ever know about. I mean, do you see that out on the golf course with some of these guys, just kind of gutting it out?
Yeah, I think so. I think Jack even addressed that this week at Memorial, where he talked about guys playing hurt on the tour all the time and, gutting it out. Nobody ever knew about it. I will say, back in those days, the money wasn't as good as it is now. So, I mean, if you're hurt, if you've already won a couple of million bucks and, you're banged up a little bit, why risk playing with some type of injury to make it worse when you're not really concerned about money. I mean, how many injuries has Jason Day had? Brant Snedeker, I think both shoulders, hips. I mean, Sned's always got something wrong with him. You know, sometimes we don't hear about this stuff, but there's a bunch of guys out there who have to battle through this stuff. And I think a lot of them are the lower tier players who are just making cuts or just trying to make the FedEx Cup playoffs and aren't at the top of the, you know, the world golf rankings. I think those are the guys who, you know, probably go out there and, you know, banged up, stitched up, and we don't know about it. And they go out and play and try to make a cut and try to make a few bucks. And I think that goes on a lot. And I think the other thing we've seen on the tour is, you know, other thing, you know, there's 156 stories in the Naked City every week on the PGA Tour. And you got guys, you know, Stuart Sink's wife has been battling cancer. Billy Horschel's wife admitted this past, you know, a week ago that she was an alcoholic. So what was Billy going? I mean, there's so many stories we don't know about because there's just so much going on, and you don't know a lot about the personal lives of these golfers. But you know, but they're human beings. They go through the things everybody else does in life, and it's just the top players obviously have a lot more focus on them than the guys ranked 300s in the world.
Yeah, Bill, before we turn to this weekend's action and previewing a little bit of the U.S. Open, and just kind of put a bow on this Tiger story, I'm curious when we look at injuries and, you know, I think with what's going on in the country right now with opioids and all that kind of stuff, is there any chance at all that Tiger comes out of this and is willing to publicly, I don't know, be the face for, hey, don't mix your medicines, don't, you know, pay attention to what your doctors say, don't have conflicting doctors prescribing things, or is that he's just not wired for that, is he?
No, he's not, which goes back to this conversation I had about being an ambassador for the game. Tiger's just not been he's never been open to the media about things going on in his life. And I remember him playing at Wells Fargo a number of years ago, and I was with him. It was like in the morning, and we were just out calling golf shots, and fans were around him. I think he missed the cut that week, and there was something that was – you know, people ask, are you okay? Are you okay physically? And Tiger gave the, you know, I'm fine. And I think that he went to the Players the next week and pulled out with a neck injury or something like that. So my neck's been killing me, blah, 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 blah. I don't know if that's in Tiger's DNA to be that type of person because he's never exhibited that before. So can you flip a switch and suddenly be that person? So I would say no, but you never know with Tiger.
Again, we're talking with PGA Tour Radio's Bill Rosinski. And Bill, when you're out there and you're following these guys around, I mean, we've always said there are certain players that the ball just seems to come off the club differently and have the ability to hit all these shots. Are you seeing that out of any of these younger players that are coming out right now?
Well, the guy I'll throw out, I watched him a little bit last week because I was right behind him when he was playing in the final round of Colonial, and that's Rom. That guy can hit the golf ball, soaring tee shots. You know, he goes to 18. 18 is a fairly narrow hole at Colonial. You can get all kinds of trouble right or left. He knew he had to make birdie on that hole, and he just took out the driver and killed it. This guy's got all kinds of game. I think he is legit. He is proving every week that not only he played very well this week, but he's proving pretty much every week on the PGA Tour that he's going to be a strong contender. You know, I go back now, this guy, he's the British Open champion, but anytime you watch him walk along with Henrik Stenson, well, there's just something different about when he's on, the way he hits a golf ball, the sound of a ball, especially coming off his irons. There's just something different about that guy. But to answer your question about the young guys right now, I think Rahm is the guy coming up that a lot of any. I think he's got all kinds of shot. He just doesn't hit a draw. He can hit a fade. He can do all kinds of things with the golf ball, which is, to his advantage as we get close to the majors.
Yeah, I mean the guy who's on it this weekend is the return of Chubby Duffner. You know, who's now he's back fighting in the right weight class, I think. You know, 65-65, he's got, you know, National Donut Day working in his favor. But he's at minus 14, and he's, you know, second place is minus 9, and the top 10 is sitting, you know, 9 strokes back. Yeah, when you're out there with these guys, what's the attitude of players going into the weekend when you've got a guy who's got a, you know, 5-stroke lead and seems to be tearing it up? I mean, he's not going to run 65s throughout the weekend, but they know he's going to have to back up. They haven't given up, but what's their resolve like when a guy is leading by so much heading into the weekend?
You know, with these guys, they've seen it every week. They just keep grinding. They just go out there. And I was actually listening to the radio broadcast yesterday in the car, and Duffner had played in the morning, and he was not done with his round, and DJ was supposed to play in the afternoon, and they were talking about, you know, if this score stands, DJ's going to come to the golf course 20 shots back as he gets ready to tee off. So what's your mindset there? But, you know, if you just make the cut, and I know there's a big, you know, Duffner's got a 5-shot lead, but I've seen 4-shot leads disappear on one hole. This will come down, you know, I thought I read a note in the paper today where Fowler and Scott Hoke both had the previous scoring records after 36 holes at Memorial, and neither won the golf tournament. I'm not sure how close the second place was going into Saturday, but, you know, I go back. I was at Torrey Pines when Snedeker won, not this past time, but a couple of years ago. Remember, it was Kyle Stanley. Kyle Stanley's playing 17. Snedeker's on 18, and Stanley's got a 4-shot lead going to 18. Snedeker birdies 18. So then the lead is 3. Stanley throws his second in the water, makes a triple. All of a sudden, we're in a playoff.
Yeah,
I was at Memphis when Garrigus came to the tee. I was actually following Lee Westwood, and Garrigus has a 3-shot lead going to the last hole in Memphis, and he plunks a couple of shots in the drink and has to, like, make a 30-footer to get in a playoff. So this 5-shot lead that Jason Duffner has today is nice, but trust me, heading to Sunday – at about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, it'll probably be, you know, 5 guys within 2 shots, and you don't see runaways that much anymore on the PGA Tour. And I will tell you this: the last 3 events I've worked, Hilton Head, Wells Fargo, and last week at Colonial. The first 2 I mentioned, the last groups were not even, were still on the golf course when TV went off because they were out of it.
Right.
Then, of course, I was with Webb last week, Webb Simpson, who had a chance. He had to, you know, make birdie at 18 to get in the playoff with Kisner, but that was the final group on Sunday there. So being in the lead on the PGA Tour on Saturday or Sunday doesn't mean a whole heck of a lot.
Yeah, what's your schedule look like coming up?
Well, a little vacation this coming week, and then off to the U.S. Open. I'm excited about going to Erin Hills and seeing that golf course, and I've already seen some videos of the place. You don't want to miss it left, right. Typical U.S. Open and lots of tall grass and fescue. And the U.S. Open is interestingly, a really good test for all types of games. Obviously, you got to hit it straight. But that'll be the next tournament I work, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Bill, before we let you go, real quick, I mean, you got a lot of really top-notch players, big-name guys having to qualify. Who are you looking for in the qualifiers this week?
Well, the guy I'm pulling for is Steve Stricker. I can't believe for the life of me that a Wisconsin native did not get a pass by the USGA to play in his home state. I mean, come on. And he played well. He had a really good round last Sunday at Colonial. I know he was playing Jack's tournament this week. I have no idea how he did, but he also said he was going to play in that 30 in the 36 holes Monday to try to qualify. Again, for the life of me, I can't believe the USGA wouldn't give this guy who has been he's the President's Cup captain. That's the guy I'm looking at this weekend. I'm pulling for Stricker to get in his home state tournament.
All right. Well, Bill, as always, we appreciate you coming on with us, and we look forward to catching up with you again soon.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.